Okay, now hear these centering words. Wisdom is calling. She calls from the highest heavens and speaks with truth on her lips, calling all people to faith, peace, hope, and love. Will you please stand and join me into the call to worship? To you, O people, wisdom calls. She calls out to each of us, beckoning us to experience peace in Christ, hearkening us to discover the truth of life, imploring us to know true love. As it is poured into our heart, wisdom calls. Let us answer her call as we celebrate faith in the one who leads us into life. Please join me in the opening prayer. We thank you, O Lord, for giving us love and peace through your Son, Christ Jesus, for offering us the key to all spiritual knowledge through your Holy Spirit. To those who are in the midst of life's problems, grant your wisdom and insight from above. To those who are burdened with anxiety and fear, offer your wise assurance in times of need. To those facing decisions about family or career, bless them with your wisdom on high. To those entering a new chapter in their lives, be it the birth of children, taking a new job, finding a place to live, or entering retirement, guide them on the proper path and bless them with a sense of peace. This we pray in the name and wisdom of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The opening hymn today is Holy, 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 and it's found on page 64, and we're doing verses 1 through 4.
Thank you. You may be seated. Friends, would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we give thanks to you. We give thanks to you that even in your essence, you are a community, that you continue to impart your wisdom and your love and your grace upon us, so that every day we might hopefully look more and more like you. Almighty God, we ask that you're with those who are suffering from illness, whether it be short-term or long, whether it be serious or minor. Lord, we ask that you give our friends and our family and our neighbors healing. Give them patience and peace, not only to those going through the illness, but also those who love and care for them. God, we give you thanks for all the ways that you continue to provide for us and make a way, whether that be with jobs or finances, whether that be with raising kids or growing old. Lord, we thank you for the ways that you protect us and guide us. God, we thank you for the weather, for the rain and the sun. Lord, may it be in appropriate amounts and no more and no less. And God, we give you thanks for all things, so that your glory may be known, that your love may fill our hearts, and we may care for one another today and tomorrow and until the end of all things. Through Christ our Lord, we pray all of these things. Amen. So with the confidence of the children of God, we invite you to pray with us the prayer that Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And amen. If there are any kids who'd like to come up, we'd love to have you come up now.
For you today. Okay, can you tell me, what is this? A phone! Good job. Really good job. A phone. What do we use cell phones for? To text? To call people? To FaceTime people? What else can we use it for? Snapchat? I'm hearing a lot of ways to communicate with people. Games? You could do that too. But communicating, that's a great thing you guys are saying. There's a lot of ways that we can talk to people that we know on a cell phone, whether it's by texting or by calling or by video messaging through like FaceTime or Zoom or Snapchat. There's so many ways we can talk to people. What are good things about being able to talk to people who are very far away from us? What's so good about that? Maybe when we miss them, we get to talk to them using a cell phone. If they're really far away from us and we really have something we want to share with them, we want to tell them some exciting news, we'd use a cell phone or something else to communicate with them, right? A tablet, right? An iPad, anything you can use to communicate with someone. Yeah. And what's really cool about today's lesson is that Jesus was telling his disciples ways that they can stay in communication with him when he leaves earth. Because Jesus isn't going to be around forever, right? He's going to go back to heaven with God. So he says, I'm going to leave you guys with God's holy cell phone. Okay, he doesn't actually say God's holy cell phone. He says the Spirit of Truth, or which actually means God's Holy Spirit. How many of you have heard of the Holy Spirit before? Yeah? So the Holy Spirit, if you don't know what that is, it's a way for us to communicate with God. The Holy Spirit is God that lives inside all of us, so that we always have a way to talk to God and always have a way for God to talk to us, so we can hear what God wants us to do. We can hear the words God wants us to say. We know how God wants us to act because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. So now I want you to raise your hand if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. That should be everyone. Everyone in this whole room's hand should be raised. Yes. We all have the Holy Spirit inside of us. So keep your hand up if that means you can talk to God every day. Yes. Yes, we can all talk to God every day. And we can always hear God if we listen. And we sit and pray. And that's a way we can always talk with God. So let's praise God and thank Him today by praying and thanking God for the Holy Spirit. So let's repeat after me as we pray. Dear God, thank you for the Holy Spirit. So we can always talk to you. And we can always hear you. Thank you, God. We love you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can go have a seat.
Today's Old Testament scripture is taken from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 and 22 through 31. Does not wisdom call and understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries out, to you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all who live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth, when he had not yet made earth and fields or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, playing before him always, playing with his inhabited world and delighting in the human race. Our special music is a duet provided by Kurt Johnson and Alec Pendry today.
PAYSU is the name of one of the sections of the standard Latin Requiem Mass, or Mass for the Dead. A few weeks ago, we decided to sing this PAYSU because it's beautiful music, not knowing that events since then would make it particularly relevant now. The words mean, merciful Jesus, grant them rest. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, grant them eternal rest. This PAYSU was composed in 1996, and I quote, in memory of the children who perished in the April of 1995 Oklahoma City bombing, and for all children of the world who are the innocent victims of senseless violence. I hope that this time our leaders will give us more than just hopes and prayers to end this senseless violence. Mm-hmm.
Friends, would you please stand as you are able and sing with us our hymn of preparation, The Lone Wild Bird, which can be found in your hymnals, in your thin black hymnals on 2052 or up on your screens. Be seated. Friends, our gospel reading today comes from John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. This is the gospel according to John. I still have many things to say to you, but cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The good news of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. You know, the nights are getting nicer now. It's not so bitterly cold, and I pray that spring stays around for a little bit longer, although we're in June now, aren't we? I know. How many of you, if you could do a honeymoon over again, or if you went on vacation during the winter, would go north for that vacation? Anyone? Just me and my wife? Okay. But it's nice out now, and spending nights out on the back deck with my family. My daughter is just like me. Say it with me. Night owl. Night owl. But as we sat on the deck last night and looked up to the sky, do you know what we saw? Stars and what else? The moon. I love the moon, friends. It is beautiful, the light is nice, and it doesn't burn the skin if you stay out too long. But as I looked up at the moon, Nora said, "Look, the moon." And I said, "Yeah, there she is." Now, what's interesting is that Nora's pretty quick. She looked right at me and said, "What do you mean? There she is. What do you mean by that?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I guess it's what I've always said, what I've grown up saying. It's kind of what's been passed on to me. You know, in some languages, la luna is a feminine noun, so I guess I just call the moon she sometimes." She looked at me, she raised her eyebrow, and she said, "Nah, let's call him him." Him, huh? Yeah, let's call him him. Okay. You know, that feels strange deep in my gut. I don't quite understand why you're asking to call him him. Maybe you're just being contrarian and trying to have the last word. But we can try it if you give me some grace and know that I will eventually, every once in a while, revert to my old ways. But it's fascinated me that she said that. Especially as we read our scriptures today from Proverbs and from John. See, it's Trinity Sunday. Can anyone describe the Trinity to me or explain it 100% with complete clarity? No takers? Why not? It's confusing, isn't it? It doesn't quite make all that much sense if we're being honest with ourselves, but don't worry, we'll get to that part later on. But if you look back into the scriptures that we have today, you find two things that happen. The first is, in Proverbs, you have this thing called wisdom. Now, in the Greek, that's Sophia. You might know that as a female's name. And even in Proverbs, you have this part where it says, "Wisdom, she cries out in the streets." Now, the old tradition, the ancient tradition, is that wisdom was ascribed to the Holy Spirit. But in John, we have this interesting thing happening. Jesus is giving his farewell tour. He's saying goodbye to the ones that he loves. And so that they don't get a little bit upset or anxious, he says, "Don't worry, I'll send someone else to you. I'll send you the Spirit, and he'll tell you all the things you need to know." Did you catch that part? "I'll send the Spirit and he'll tell you all the things you need to know." There's some tension there, even in the Scripture, isn't there? And on this Sunday, where we reflect on what even the Trinity might be, it makes me wonder, it makes me ponder. What are the ways that we conceive of God? What are the things that we know to be true about God, and how do they actually inform how we
live our lives. Friends, would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we know it's a mystery. We know that you're calling us to explore it, to dive deep into it, and see what you might have in store for us. Lord, help us live with the tension. Help us live in your creativity. Help us have grace and fill our hearts with love as we hear your words today. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. I have a colleague who recommended a book. Now, it's one of those big, long titles. I'm going to see if I can get it out of my memory right now. Trinitarian Discussions on John Wesley's Theology. Sounds like a real page-turner, doesn't it? Trinitarian Discussions on John Wesley's Theology. Guys, it's the best book I've ever read. And I might be just a little bit stretching it right now, but it's really good. But it's interesting. It's interesting that the Trinity is probably the most argued, the most problematic part of Christian theology throughout the centuries. From the very beginning, we were discussing and wrestling with, who is God? Who is God? And how does Jesus fit into this? And even now in 2020, it's 2022, isn't it? Even now in 2022, we're still wrestling with what the Holy Spirit actually has to do. It's the thing that we've wrestled with the most as the people of God. Whole groups were cast out of the church, right or wrong. I'm told that in one of the councils where they were trying to figure out who Jesus was, now whether this is true or not, I don't know, but it makes a good story, that one bishop got so upset that he rolled up his sleeves and started to throw hands. Would you believe that? Church people getting upset and irate at an annual conference, right? I know. But I think it requires some thought and some discussion on who God actually is and how this whole thing actually works. See, back in the early times, in the 300s, 500s, there were a bunch of people arguing about this. We won't go into that. Even in the 16 and 1700s in England, there were people arguing about what the Trinity was and whether Christ was actually God or beneath God or how it all wove together. And you know what happened, friends? There were a lot of people who got upset with each other. And you know what happened after that? There were a lot of people who stopped talking with each other, who stopped breaking bread with each other, who stopped being in community with one another. See, because at its core, I think it's this. If we believe that we've been made in the image of God, not only that, but if we believe that every single day we wake up and take breath, we are taking steps towards being more like God. It kind of matters who God is, doesn't it? It kind of matters what we are trying to emulate and be created into. So it did. It happened. There were these huge intellectual debates over who God was and how this all works. You've probably heard some of the images that try and get described, right? The Trinity is like what? Oh, shout them out. It's fine, friends. The Trinity is like what? Trinity is like liquid. Water, steam, and ice, right? What else? What else was another one you've heard? Oh, don't leave me hanging up here, friends. The Trinity's like an egg. You got the shell and the yolk and the white, right? Or the Trinity's like a cube. You've got three sides, but don't worry about the other three. Or the Trinity's like a family unit, right? A father can be a son and also a brother. See, the problem with all of these things is that they fall short, don't they? They only give us approximate ideas of what the Trinity is. It only gets us close. But there's an even There's an even more subtle problem that's happening here. Maybe you've experienced it before. How many of you have a head? Hopefully all of us here, right? How many of you have a brain in that head? I'll leave that up for your own exploration, right? But you all have a mind, don't you? You all have a mind. And you all have a heart. And whether or not you place your soul in your heart or somewhere else, conceive of it somehow. There's something to be said about a problem that just stays up here and never quite makes its way down deep inside of here. See, this was the problem with the discussions on the Trinity. It was just some intellectual parlor trick. It's something that school people talked about and didn't actually have any real practical meat for everyday life. So why are we talking about it still? Why do we get up here, if you're on the lectionary, why do we get up here year after year and say, by the way, the Trinity's pretty cool. Y'all should believe in it. Go team? Go team. But there's something about it that's captured imaginations throughout the centuries, and there's something about it that still might be relevant. There's lights on in this sanctuary, aren't they? Do you know how light works? You flip the switch, right? I'm not a physicist. I've got friends who are. But as far as the most modern research goes, you know light is both a wave and a particle. It's like saying light is both steam and ice at the same time. It just doesn't quite work. It's actually pretty confusing. They're still trying to work on how those two things can be the same at the same time. Not only that, in philosophy, there's another problem. Back to that mind thing, right? All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your right hand, okay? Take your right hand and raise it in the air. Now take your left hand and raise it in the air. Now clap them together. 1, 2, 3. Do you know what you just did? You moved matter with nothing more than your mind. You made real physical stuff be affected with nothing more than thought. How does that work? See, they're still trying to figure that one out, too. But it goes deeper than that. See, this is the problem, right? Is that even when we dive down into the intricacies of what life and reality actually is, there's still stuff that leaves us mystified. Like how the mind and the body connect, but how the heart and the spirit also interweave between them. See, friends, if we're being honest, or if I'm being honest, that's the best view of the Trinity that I have. Human, mortal, that I am. That in some way we are one, but kind of not. Because at the end of the day, salvation doesn't come through knowing all of this stuff. Right? Health, wholeness, eternal life, all of that isn't dependent upon what you are able to figure out about how the world works. For us, in our tradition, that comes through, starts with an F, faith. Which also is trust, right? It comes through the trust that at the end of all things, God's got us. So now that we're free to kind of pick apart and look at how God and who God is, there's something about the Trinity that I really want to highlight. Because here's the problem, friends, is we could spend the next 5 hours here really just hashing it out. Anyone up for that? Shake your heads no. There's something beautiful about the Trinity being separate but one, being mixed and woven together. It's a lot like God and us as individuals and the church. See, John Wesley had grown up and really cut his teeth in the midst of all of these Trinitarian controversies. He got a lot of experience with trying to figure out what even is the point of all of this discussion. And he said that the Trinity, God, is an image of how we as the church are to act, how we are to be, what we are to do. And so today I want to focus on that bit about the Father not being the Son, and the Son not being the Spirit, and the Spirit not being the Father, but each of them being God, and God being each of them. See, there's some fascinating unity that's happening there. There's something that's confusing, but we can point to it and say, this group of persons or essences or whatever you want to call them, they've committed to being in community. They have said that this is a good and ideal and something worthy of even holding reality together. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is what Christ prays on his farewell tour. Lord, may they be one, like you and I are one. See, it's something that Wesley said, that, like, this is the height. This is what we as the church learn about being the church from God. How to be a community that sits with each other, that walks with each other, that breaks bread with each other, even in the midst of differing opinions of the little doctrine or the little practice. Right? There's an essence to the church. I'm not going to get wild here, friends, but a lawyer came up to Jesus and said, Lord, what's the biggest, the best, the most important commandment? And what did Jesus say? Love. Love God with everything you have in you. And your neighbors, your community, love them as much as you love yourself. I'm going to start there, friends. For me, for my understanding of what the gospel is, that's where it starts. And once I master that, then I'll move off to whatever the Trinity is. Then I'll try and figure out what penal substitutionary atonement theory is. After that, I'll try and figure out how to solve all of the problems in the church. But for right now, for such a time as this, it's interesting to me that this is one of the highest goods that God has offered to us. An image of what it means to work side by side with one another. Because in many ways, to do anything other than that is to lose a bit of that witness and that power in loving one another that God has given us. Now, those are simple words. How easy is that to do? How many of you think that pineapple belongs on pizza? I know. How many of you think that those people are wrong? I know, right? Or how many of you say that Iowa should win, or you and I should win, or Iowa State should win. I know, it's an old joke. We're trotting it out, dust covered from the closet, right? But seriously, how many of you have your favorite team? And yet, as I've told my family and my friends, as far as teams go, it's a good day when an Iowa team wins. Sorry, Corey. Or as far as pizza goes, whether pineapple belongs on pizza or not, how many of you like pizza? See, we're talking about the big things and the little things here. We're trying to piece together what it actually means to be Christian, what it actually means to be the people of God filled with love so that the world might know that Christ is risen, that Christ is risen indeed. That the unity of the Trinity is a model for how the church and what the church can live into. That doesn't mean it's not messy. That doesn't mean it's easy or even fun all the time. But it does mean that there's some holiness, some sacredness, something real that happens when we sit next to each other in the pews, when we comment online, when we call one another, check in on one another, bring soup to those who are sick. I hope we meditate on this, on who God is, even in God's self, so that we might look more and more like that every day. That we might walk with one another, and sit and talk and break bread with one another. Because there's a beauty in that, even if it's hard to do. Amen? Amen.
How long has it been since we've confessed? Probably a long time, at least a year, maybe. At least together like this. I'm going to be honest, though, there's a lot of baggage sometimes that comes with confessing sins. Even saying the word sin sometimes gets people a little bit uncomfortable. But we're not going to do that first, because we're going to do the modern affirmation, aren't we? Friends, how do you put up with a pastor who doesn't know what's coming next in the service? Friends, it is Trinity Sunday. And even though it is a mystery that is worthy of exploration and contemplation, I invite you to lift your voices as we affirm who we are, what we believe, or at least what we're wrestling with. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is all over his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in our example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen and amen. Thank you. Friends, now it's time for Holy Communion. And before we do that, I've been convicted by the Spirit, that wily trickster of a spirit, to say, shouldn't we maybe remind each other that God has forgiven us, that there is hope and we're not bound by our sin? and our failures. So friends, before we go into communion, I invite you to still your hearts and to have a little faith and to walk with me as we remember that God is good. Friends, some of us fear the darkness that lingers within of us, and some of us ignore our own sin out of pride. And still others of us have no greater accuser than ourselves. Lord, have mercy. Friends, hear the good news. Christ offered himself up so that we might no longer live in bondage to our failings. Christ has risen from the dead, and we will rise with him, both at the end of all things and from the grip of our own sin, in this life and the next. Christ, have mercy. Whatever haunts you, whatever binds you, or weighs upon your conscience, whatever you have done or left undone, will never cause God to stop loving you. Lay your fears and your failings at the foot of the cross and turn back to the path that leads to righteousness. Lord, have mercy. Friends, Christ has forgiven us and opened the path of reconciliation that we might forgive one another and ourselves and learn how to gently heal the wounds that we have caused between each other. Friends, I invite you to turn to one another. I know. Turn to one another. Maybe even look each other in the eye if you can. But turn to one another and remind each other that God loves you. Say those words to your neighbor. Go ahead. Do it now. Friends, God loves you. It is a good thing to hear those words, and just as good of a thing to hear these next ones. Turn once again to your neighbor and say, Christ has forgiven us. Friends, Christ has forgiven us. So may you continue on with the ministry of reconciliation. May you use this as a starting point to heal the wounds between one another. Because in that way, unity and grace and love is restored. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, this isn't my table. This isn't the table of the United Methodist Church. This is the table of the living God. And all people are welcome here. We'll invite you to come forward in a little bit to receive the bread and the juice. And remember that Christ's love is greater than all things and binds us together. If you feel uncomfortable coming forward for whatever reason, I know there's a lot of illnesses that can go around sometimes. We've got juice and crackers in the back for you to take if that's more convenient. If for whatever reason you don't feel like you can take communion at all today, but you still want a blessing and to come and be a part of this community, feel free to come forward with your arms crossed and we'll bless you. Because God does what? He loves you. And so does the church. Friends, this is Holy Communion, an open table, and all people are welcome here. So friends, we invite you to lift up your voices and join us. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Friends, would you pray with me? Almighty God, we give you thanks that you have blessed us with one another, that you have bound us together in community so that we might not be alone, that we might walk with one another, talk with each other, break bread with each other, and know that your Spirit is alive within all of us. Almighty God, you brought us out of dirt and dust and mud and clay and breathed into us the breath of life. Lord, throughout our lives we have fallen away and we have come back, and we have fallen away and we have come back. And it is by the grace of your Son
through his life, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection, that we might have new life, that we might come running into your open arms and know that all will be well, that all is well. So, Lord, bless us, that we might remember your great and mighty acts, that we might be a people who praises your name. Amen. And so, friends, with all of those who have gone before us, all of those who will come after us, and all of those here in this place, on this earth, in this time, let us raise our voices and praise the name of the Lord with the unending hymn, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Friends, on the night that Christ offered himself up for us, he took the bread and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take this and eat. This is my body broken for you. Eat this as often as you can in my memory." And after the meal had ended, he took the cup and he took the wine, and blessing it and pouring it out, he said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you can in my memory." And so, friends, in memory of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves as holy and living sacrifices as we proclaim the mystery of faith with one another. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Friends, would you pray with me once more? Almighty God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you are with us, that we are not alone, that we are bound together by your love, with you and with one another. Lord, pour out your Spirit on us gathered here today. Pour out your Spirit on these simple gifts of bread and cup, that they may be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be the body of Christ, redeemed by your blood. Lord, make us one with you, one with each other, and one in ministry to the entire world until you come again, in grace and in glory. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all the people said, Amen. Friends, this is an open table, and all are welcome here. We invite those who are helping to come forward now and help us do that. But the table is set. Please, join us. If you need more, go ahead and just come up and get some.
Let us pray.
The love of God is with you. God has redeemed us. And all the people said, amen. Thanks be to God. Friends, I invite you to stand with us as you are able and join us in our closing hymn, God Has Spoken by the Prophets, on page 108 or up on your screens, verses 1 through 3. So friends, may the Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God remind us that we are bound by His love and our hearts are filled with that same love, so that the world may see the church walking and breaking bread together, so that perhaps our world may learn how to walk and break bread with each other as well. Go with God, and God will go with you now until the end of all things. And all the people said, amen. Friends, go, rest, enjoy your Sabbath. Our service has ended.